MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Friday, April 26, 2024, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber is supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore. The Salem City Council has approved the much-discussed outdoor camping ordinance. We have reports on school spending. And Congressman Moulton is seeking re-election.
I'm Bill Newell, and later in sports, the Patriots have a new quarterback.
You know, super excited. Can't wait to get to Boston, get to New England. Can't wait to get Gillette Stadium and meet y'all.
We'll have details. Rick?
Thank you, Bill. Sunny near 50 today, high tide, Gloucester Harbor, 1:52 p.m. The Salem City Council last night passed the anti-camping ordinance by a 10-to-1 vote. Dustin Luca reports in today's Salem News that public comment prior to the vote was harshly against the new ordinance, but the plan calls for the relocation of unhoused people living outdoors if adequate shelter space is available. U.S. Congressman Seth Moulton will be running for his fifth term this year. Salem News State House reporter Christian Wade reports that Moulton filed paperwork with the Secretary of State's office to run for re-election in the 6th Congressional District. The Beverly School Committee is working on its fiscal year 2025 budget. At this week's school committee meeting, the increased money that Beverly is sending Essex Tech came under scrutiny. Superintendent of Schools Dr. Suzanne Charchek told the meeting that most of these increases are coming from increased enrollment from Beverly students.
4 or 5 years ago when I was first superintendent, we had a lot of conversations and a lot of call for how do we make sure we can get more students into the tech. So I guess we did a good job. But typically at that point in time, we were getting about 31 to 33 kids in each year. In the last 3 years consecutively, we've had 60, 61, and 61. So, you know, there is an interest in attending the tech. I think now our call is to how do we keep kids at Beverly High School instead of the tech, but that would really mean we don't want to limit opportunities or the offerings, right? There are many great, wonderful things at the tech. And so I think our job is to continue to create great and wonderful things at Beverly High and expand. So two of the things that Julie Ferrara presented to us in our last session, the Innovative Pathways grant that we received to be able to expand our pathways that we have and the Early College grant designation that we received, we think both open the door for us to expand how we offer opportunities to our students.
Along with increased enrollment, there are increases in the per student costs from year to year.
Those costs are not in our control. They run their own budgets. They run their own, they have their own agreement. And we are part of the regional charter, so we have some limitations as to what we can stand up against it. But I do think our expansion of After Dark has helped. And, we continue to look for ways to do it. But it is strictly an enrollment thing. We have 220 students slated to go there next year, which is, and I think we'll probably be at 240 before the next cycle of enrollments and registrations go through.
That's Beverly School Superintendent Dr. Suzanne Charchek. The entire meeting can be viewed on BevCam. Gloucester Mayor Greg Verga told a crowd outside the high school on Wednesday morning that the upcoming Gloucester school budget would not cut funding for the arts. Ethan Foreman of the Gloucester Times reports that those remarks were made at a rally sponsored by Save the Arts. There's still a $2.1 million budget gap to be resolved in next year's Gloucester school budget. Construction of the new Pickering Middle School in Lynn could be getting underway in June. This week, the city held an information session for the community with design and construction officials to keep residents updated on the project and to answer any questions. This is Lynn Mayor Jared Nicholson on keeping communication channels open.
This is a hugely exciting project that I think the whole city is excited about. It's also just a large project. You know, it's almost a $200 million project. It's incredibly complex. And we want to share as much information as we can because I think a lot of the questions we can answer. That's just a ton of information. Like if you go on the website, there's everything there. But we want to work with the folks that need the information about how to get it in folks' hands in a way that is accessible and really answers their questions. So we will continue to work to proactively share information and have meetings like this and update the website and so on and so forth.
That's Lynn Mayor Jared Nicholson. The entire meeting can be viewed at lynntv.org. In Newburyport, the Daily News is reporting that plans to build a new recreation center on Low Street passed a design funding vote this week in the City Council's Community Services Subcommittee. And we have this reminder for commuters. The Lynn Ferry service will be resuming on Monday. Service begins with the first trip to Boston at 6 a.m., and the last ride home from Boston is at 7:15 p.m. Bill Newell on Sports Next, followed by North Shore Today Extra with comments from candidates running for the Select Board in Danvers.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website.
This is MSO Sports bringing voice to the North Shore. The Patriots have a new quarterback.
With the third pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina.
What's up, Pats Nation? Drake May here. Can't wait. You know, super excited. Can't wait to get to Boston, get to New England. Can't wait to get Gillette Stadium and meet y'all. And super excited to get to work and let's go.
When did May know that the Patriots were going to make the call to him?
Yeah, when I heard that phone ring right beside me, you know, I had the ring down phone, the old school phone right beside me at the draft. You know, once that rang, it was just, it rang real early, right at 10 minutes. Right when the clock was, Patriots on the clock, I heard it started ringing.
Again, North Carolina's Drake May, the Patriots' new quarterback, number 3 pick in the NFL draft. The Red Sox lost to the Guardians yesterday afternoon, 6-4. The Sox are home tonight to host the Chicago Cubs. The Bruins and Celtics were both off last night. They'll be off again tonight. Their playoff series resume tomorrow night. The Celts are in Miami at 6. Celtics coach Joe Mazzulla talking yesterday after Wednesday night's loss against Miami to even up the series at a game apiece.
I mean, after every game, you always got to go back to what are the things you can control first. That's the most important thing. And we can control our offensive execution. We can control our transition defense. And we can control a decent percentage of those threes. And so that's the first step, is always going back to taking away the things that you can control and then being ready to, like I said, every game takes on a life of its own. And game one and game two were two completely different games. And so you have to be ready in the middle of the game to make those quick adjustments, whether it's individual or whether it's as schematically on both ends of the floor.
The Bruins will be in Toronto tomorrow night for game 4 of their series. They lead that series 2-1. Puck drop tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Bruins coach Jim Montgomery speaking yesterday following their game 3 win in Toronto.
We saw a lot of, not a lot, but a few areas that we think we can get better at. And then I think we can really, there's a good portion of the game there, especially the third period, where we felt we had a lot of success and possessed more than we have been.
We will have plenty of local sports updates in the days ahead here on our website. Later today, we are planning on a very special post with the number 1 D3 baseball team in the nation, Endicott College. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, hoping you have a great Friday, great weekend. North Shore Today Extra is next with details on the Danvers Select Board race.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
This is North Shore Today Extra, and today we're going to feature a candidates forum held by Danvers Community Access Television on the select board candidates for the town of Danvers. There are 2 seats open. This forum had 3 candidates present. They were Gardner Trask,
Michael Biehn and Dee DiGiocco. Questioner for this is Mike McHugh from the Salem News. So we're going to pick up two questions. It moves along pretty quickly. The first one is on the top issues that any of these select board members would be facing as selectmen, or key issues that they think are important. And the second question deals with affordability and affordable housing for the town of Danvers. So let's just pick into that or jump into this. This is about 10 minutes long. And a couple of questions from the forum on Danvers Community Access Television.
And we're going to move on now to the question portion of the evening. So, Michael, I know you have some questions prepared. For the order, for the first question, we're going to start with Dee, then it'll be Gardner, and then Mike, and we'll rotate as we go. So, Dee, you're up first on that one, and Mike, we're ready for you.
Thank you very much, and thanks again for all being here. So the first question I'd ask, what do you see to be some of the greatest challenges and most important priorities for the Select Board in this coming term?
Thank you for the question, Mike. I believe one of the greatest challenges for the Select Board in this upcoming term is setting a certain level of accountability for our town and making sure that we are held accountable and that we hold the town government accountable. That is very important. Our biggest asset are the people that work for the town and the people that live in the town. So it is important that we set stages and policies where people bring their full self to work and where the services in our town continue to be as good as they can be. As a Select Board member, and I've proven through my leadership track record, I will work very hard to have those discussions and create those environments where people can feel like they belong, work hard, bring their full self to work, and deliver on the policies that the Select Board will be setting forward. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Dee. Next up is going to be Gardner. Gardner, would you like the question repeated, or are you ready to go?
I think I'm all set.
Okay. Thank you, Gardner. So as soon as you are ready, we're ready for you.
So having the experience of being on the board 18 years, there's some things that are perennial, and that being water. Water is always going to be an issue. And water isn't an issue of the supply. Water is an issue of our ability to store water. We've had many initiatives in the past to try to solve this problem. We continue to try to solve it, but we are at the discretion of the EPA and Army Corps of Engineers as to some of our plans. That being said, I think the next issue would be budget constraints. I pore over the budget every year. I look for efficiencies, as does 149 town meeting members, all with different views of the budget and what is important to them. But we try to balance services. I try to balance services against the cost of those services and what makes Danvers Danvers. When you get hit with an unanticipated $1.13 million increase in a service, you have to find that money in the budget. And frankly, the budget doesn't have a lot of wiggle room. 85% of our budget goes to paying salaries and benefits. Another 10% of it goes to fixed costs like debt that we've already incurred. So the remaining 5% is all we really have to adjust and move around. That, and I look forward to discussing a revitalized downtown with mixed use. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Gardner. We're going to slide on over to Mike Biehn. You are next. Mike, are you ready to go?
Ready to go.
All right. Thank you.
I think some of the issues are mostly what the two gentlemen here have said. Taxes is always a problem. Fees are a problem. People don't understand. We want to know that we're getting the best bang for our buck and that people are actually looking over the money as best they can, and that the waste that could be occurring is being looked at. Is somebody questioning the waste? You know, there's always waste. It's human nature. Whether you're in public or private business, I believe in private business is not as much room to allow for waste. That you're trying to make a profit. At least my experience has been working for the town that you can have more waste than you should because it's not your money. You know, so it can happen, whether it's a material thing, a labor, or whatever. The growth about the town is a problem. I think a lot of people are concerned. They see the large building at the end of the center of town, and you know, people are shocked. And I understand there's a lot of people that say, you know, how did this happen and whatnot, and then other people say, well, you should have been paying attention. It's hard. People are busy. Life is fast. We're in a much crazier lifestyle today more than ever. I think those are some of the big concerns. And our schools. I want safe schools and proper teaching.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Your time is up. Thank you. That was the first question. We got through one. We got a number more to go, but thanks for everyone for the quick start. The next question for the order will be Gardner first, followed by Mike, and then Dee. So, Mike, whenever you're ready.
All right. So, what is Danvers' role in addressing the housing crisis and making Danvers an affordable and desirable option for families, and how will you move those priorities forward if elected while also being cognizant of overdevelopment?
Sure. So I am the chairman of the Affordable Housing Trust. Dan Bennett and I created an Affordable Housing Committee probably close to 20 years ago. I helped initiate the Affordable Housing Trust that went to town meeting and was approved. I've been the chairman of it since. Our charge is to create affordable housing opportunities in the town of Danvers. Part of the reason is we want to make sure we stay over the state's 40B law that would allow developers to come in and basically run rampant over our zoning laws. We have done that. We are over our 10%. We will continue to be over our 10%, and inclusionary zoning and zoning changes that we've made will ensure the longevity of being over 10%. So I've been actively pursuing that all along. People talk about overdevelopment in town, and I think it's a misnomer. If you look at our latest town audit, you'll find that the town has only grown by 1,200 people over the past 10 years. Yes, traffic has increased, but that's because we're a pass-through town. But in reality, we only get about 100 new residents every year. That includes not the people that move in, but also people who were born in Danvers that year. That is far below the state average for people coming, for people, population migration. So I think that it's hard to tell people, oh, we don't have more people coming in when they see development. But the reality of the numbers is we only grow by about 100 people. And so for the town to remain vibrant, we do need to continue to grow. So I support that as well.
All right. Thank you very much, Gardner. Mike, you are up next, and you can begin whenever you're ready.
Mike, do you mind just repeating it again, please?
Sure. Yeah. What is Danvers' role in addressing the housing crisis and making Danvers an affordable and desirable option for families? And how will you move those priorities forward while also being cognizant of overdevelopment?
All right, thank you. I think, you know, Danvers has always been a residential area. We think of ourselves as a small town. Certainly feels like we want to keep it that way. There's, you know, big plans for big building. This MBTA law is pretty stressful. It's, you know, I think being told to do by what the state wants us to do. It's a template that's being used around the whole country. I don't think it's a great idea. I don't think having a lot of apartments in a town is the best way to go. I'd rather see single-family houses. I'd rather see duplexes where people have ownership, they have skin in the game, where they care more about their property. And I think that because we're almost fully compliant with this MBTA law, this challenge is right there to try to deal with how to work through this and keep us a small town, because we may be losing the small town aspect. Maybe we're going to be a small city in the future here. I think that's about all I can tell you.
All right. Thank you very much, Mike. So, Dee, you're going to be up next. As always, I just want to remind all the candidates, if you need the question repeated, that's totally fine. It won't cut into your time at all. So, Dee, whenever you're ready, you can begin.
Thank you. That's a great question. I would say, you know, affordability of houses is bigger than Danvers. That much we know. But we can't just throw our hands in the air and be like, oh, there's nothing we can do about it. Within the laws that are set up by the state, we have to comply. That's one thing. But we can do some things too. We have to continue to work with our very competent planning board to make sure that we have the right size and the right scales of growth within our town. It's a matter of supply and demand. We need more houses, but we have to be measured to make sure that we keep our small town feel. We don't want to, that is what people want in Denver, and I do believe that we can do both. Affordability is not low income. You know, I was speaking to someone who told me, well, my son moved to Arizona and I'm very sad because, and this is a Denver resident, because they couldn't afford to live here. So when we have those affordable houses, it is to help all of us. So I'm all for affordable houses. I'm all for following the state guidance, but we have to do our own work in Denver to make sure that we control the size and the scale of the court.
Those are the candidates, three candidates running for the select board in the town of Danvers, Dee DiGioco, Gardner Trask, and Michael Bean. And again, the questioner is Mike McHugh from the Salem News. This is North Shore Today Extra on MSONewsSports.com.